Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is with us.
Buenos dias.
How you doing, buddy?
Bien. Muy bien.
Perfecto mundo. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. It is the third day of April 2019. Boy, tick-tock. Time's marching on. I'm still wondering how March got started, and it's over already. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check it out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Throughout our program today, we're going to talk about anything you wish to. State Senator John Gordner is going to call at 9:06 and talk to us for about 10 minutes, and it's in response to a question we asked him a month ago about the nuclear power plant bailout that's being considered. Hardly a bailout. It wouldn't cost the state anything. It's going to cost electric ratepayers in Pennsylvania an opportunity to support their local nuclear power plants. So we'll talk to him about that. It would also classify nuclear power as an alternative energy, and proponents say it would help keep diverse Pennsylvania's energy sources.
So
it's worth considering.
I got to talk for just a second about last night. Do you mind?
Please.
I was honored for the 20th year to do the emceeing for the Sealands Grove Area Adult Band Concert, and it really was an incredible time last night. A great crowd. I was surprised how many people showed up to support live music. It's always a pleasure to see that. But conductor Ron Renshaw did an outstanding job with the band, and the highlight of the event was Dale Orris, a famous trumpeter from our area, who has been with the Glenn Miller Band, playing the Carnival of Venice. Oh, my gosh,
wow.
What an incredible performance. I mean, what a talented, outstanding man on his instrument.
And this was unusual to have him there?
No, Dale and his family are stalwarts in the band. They've been involved for many years, but this was a chance. The theme of the concert was a concert in the park, and they played a lot of the songs that were famous, you know, in concerts in past times, and some new favorites. And it was a great concert, a lot of fun. They had a medley of 10 comedy show themes, and people got a chance to guess whether they could identify them. Woody Woodpecker was very brief.
Was that only 30-second theme or something?
Well, as our conductor, Ron Renshaw, said, you'll have to be able to name that tune in 5 notes or less.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Well, it was a great evening. It really was. But just an outstanding concert. Those people come together every year, give up their time and their talent to raise money for the American Cancer Society. And I suspect, although we didn't get a final total last night, I would suspect, given the size of the crowd there, that they had a very successful year.
And you have done that for 20 years, MC that?
Actually, 19 years. One year I played the trombone, and then the next year the conductor at the time, the late Frank Panino, was a good friend of mine, called and said, are you sure you wouldn't rather announce instead?
Oh, don't give up your day job.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I sat at the very end of the trombone section. I was looking for third part music that had a lot of whole notes in it.
The opposite of first chair.
Right.
Last chair. One more chair,
I'd have been off stage, right? I'd have been out in the restroom playing by myself.
He's out in the wings. All right, 1-800-795-9565 if you'd like to call in about the performance of the wonderful band last night. We'd just love to hear from you. Let's see, what did I do? Oh, I was at the YMCA yesterday. I was in the steam room. The steam room is malfunctioning, and it's warmer than usual, and boy, is that nice. So I'm sure they're going to fix it today, though, and get it back to normal. So that's all I did yesterday.
What were you doing in there? Just
steaming?
Sweating?
Oh, you just sit there, boy. I'll tell you what, it cooks you. It's good. It's good, and it's good for you.
Well, you look half roasted this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Parboiled, at least.
Still a little warm. All right, 1-800-795-9565, our open phones. We have a leftover text from yesterday. Somebody talking about illegal drugs coming across the U.S.-Mexico border. And so that is a clarification, and that is the purpose of Lance's call, clarifying probably a remark he made yesterday. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Also, you know, about live music, your time that you spend listening to live music is not deducted from your allotted time upon this planet.
Well, I think it should be that way.
It extends your life.
Yeah, it's kind of like fishing. Anyway, several days ago, I called and said I thought that the liberal they had on the 5 Fox program did a better job than what the conservative did. But what I was talking about was the conservatives that, like, MSNBC has on. You see what I mean? In other words, Fox is doing a better job of representing the liberal point of view than what the liberal media is to articulate the conservative point of view. See what I mean?
Yes. Now, if you just watch Fox at night and you see Hannity, you only get a glimpse of what Fox is to reiterate that Fox has balanced panels through most of the other shows.
Yeah, right. That's what we're trying to say. Now, also, on the planned movie, I believe that what it was really all about was forgiveness of folks who do abortions and things like that, more than it was trying to tell people that are doing them as being evil folks. The whole thing was all about Christian love when you got right down to it. And the folks who were trying to shut the link down at first were the types that yell all kinds of nasty names, you know, to the degrading the people who are going in to have abortions.
And somebody was trying to shut down the link to the unplanned website, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Well, this is also the abortion clinic itself, where this happened down there in Texas, you know, at Texas A&M.
Okay.
So the people that really succeeded were the the old friendly persuasion, you know, the old Quakers. And it was really, really, really something. But to actually see a 13-week-old human on a big screen being sucked through a tube while it resisted,
okay,
was really, really quite moving. And the fact that I finally found out why it was rated R, and it was rated R for violence, and it was the only violence that you could see there was the abortion itself.
Okay.
So Hollywood has finally realized that abortion is violent, which is something else.
Well, you could look at it another way. You could look at it that they don't want you to see that because they don't want you to realize how violent it is.
Right, exactly. And we should have done it the same reason why you're old enough to remember Emmett Till.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That poor kid, what was he? He whistled at a white woman inside a grocery store, right?
Well, and allegedly whistled at one and got hung for it.
Yeah, right. And not only hung, but his body was burned and mutilated and everything. And his mother had an open casket so that everybody could actually see how horrible, you know, this scourge of racism was in our country.
She was a very brave woman.
Oh, man, I'll say. I just got done reading all about her.
Wow. All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the clarification. Thanks for checking in.
Oh, yeah. Well, one other thing about my sources for things that I say.
Oh, yes. That was called into question.
Yeah, right. Well, anything that I say, you can easily back up. Now you folks have all the information on the Internet. And if you look at all those numbers I was throwing out, find that it was true, everything.
But you did the compilation yourself and the math yourself?
Well, yeah. After my buddy, he got everything off the Internet for me. I said, I need these information. region.
From where is the question? And, you know, call back and tell us what that
you,
is.
You don't personally have internet, right?
No.
Well, how do you know your buddy isn't pulling your leg?
Well, because I trusted him like I would my brother.
Well, you don't know if he got it from MSNBC or something, in which case, or Fox News, in which case you can't trust it. It would have a slant.
Yeah, but if this is from FBI, that's what I actually asking for, was Uniform Crime Report. And a lot of the things that I do is what I read. Well, mostly I read the Wall Street Journal, and it's their people who are the reporters.
Gotcha. Okay, so they did the compilation. Gotcha.
We're going to start a GoFundMe page to get you a computer, a laptop, so you can get on the internet, Lance.
We are?
No, I'm only kidding.
We should. I think he's safer this way.
He probably is. He's probably saner than the rest of us.
No, but folks that, you know, would really doubt me to go and look for themselves and see what they find.
All right. Yep, see what the opposing data is. All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call.
Take care.
1-800-795-9565. We were talking about the southern border yesterday. This one starts here and then goes up.
Another lie about the border, that most of the illegal drugs come through the port of entry. I'll give Chris that most of the illegal drugs seized are at ports of entry. The problem is no one knows how much is coming across the unsecured areas of the border because there's no one there to see them or stop them. So, Chris, the majority could actually be coming across there. Prove me wrong.
All right. So, calling for a fence. A border wall of some type is the bottom line there. Thank you for that. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. In the news yesterday, we had the announcement that Azar Nafisi, the author, is going to be on the Susquehanna University campus next month with the commencement address. And to that end, one of our listeners sent us a note.
So I recently read that the Susquehanna will have Azar Nafisi as their commencement speaker. She has been outwardly critical of President Trump in speeches and on social media, calling him tyrannical, his immigration policies heinous, and went so far as to say, quote, "We will all pay for his election," unquote. Okay, I'm all for free speech, but really? Signed, Duffy.
Well, some people think the president is tyrannical on some topics. Tyrannical seems a little strong to me, but
he's tough.
Right, assertive. Heinous, I would certainly agree with on some things, but the president has done some good things, too. So, and, well, that's free speech, Duffy. Everybody gets to have their opinion about President
Everybody
Trump.
Else's opinion.
All right. I know what I have about your opinions.
And I have the same of yours.
Really? I hold them in high regard with respect.
Ironically, that's what I was going to say.
I doubt it. 1-800-795-9565. Karen, you're talking to the 19-year MC of the Selinsgrove Grove Adult Band Concert Event each year. Do you have kind words for his MCing?
I most certainly do. I'm also a member of the adult band for over 20 years, and with all the divisiveness in our world today, I think one thing we all can agree on is that music is a common bond, and it's such a joy to take part in that concert. Before the whole tally was presented last evening with the people that actually attended the concert, we had raised over $4,400 just this year. And I want to say that Joe does such a tremendous job with his sense of humor and his gift of a speaking voice to MC us every year. So just want to put it out there that in this world where so much is not good, music can bring us together. And it was, like I said, it was a joyous moment last evening.
Well, it's good to see Joe finally using that voice for good.
You're bad.
Yes, no, I'm sorry. You opened the door. I couldn't resist. No, he does a super job. And he was a super mentor here as when he was COO. I will add that, too.
Well, you gentlemen have a great day, and thanks for mentioning our concert last night, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, and congrats on that money. That's fantastic.
Yeah, good. Actually, they raised probably close, with last night's results, probably close to $170,000 over the years.
Isn't that something? Wow,
and
super.
And the American Cancer Society representative talked about a piece of a van they were able to purchase with the money raised. So,
all right, super.
Yeah, very good effort by a lot of hardworking, dedicated people.
Good musicians, live music. As Lance said, live music doesn't count for your longevity. It adds to your life. lifespan. So catch some live music today. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call us immediately. We had just one note about the southern border that we did some clarification there, and one individual talking about illegal immigrants costing the U.S. when it comes to crime and loss of life, and so that statistic is out there.
Well, and Lance brought up abortion again, and it's particularly important at the moment because of the issue going on in Georgia, where they're considering a heartbeat bill that's already been passed. The governor just has to sign it, and Alyssa Milano and a lot of Hollywood types are threatening to never work in Georgia again if they pass the bill. So we can talk about that when we come back.
Boy, poor Georgia. Every law they impose, you end up with a boycott. This happened a little while back.
And they're going to ban the song Georgia on My Mind. It's just going to be called On My Mind.
Okay. All right.
On My Mind.
All right. Well, we're going to hear that song. No, I'm just kidding. We won't be playing that song. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Give us a buzz right now. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. Billy, thanks for waiting through the break. You are on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I wanted to chat. I saw on WKOK.com a news article this morning about 911 in Northumberland County, but there was some news yesterday in Union County about 911 as well. Attended the commissioner meeting, and one of the issues I wanted to raise was an issue that's come up as I've traveled around the county and talked to different fire company chiefs and staff members of the fire companies and asked their opinion of how the 911 merger is going in Union and Snyder County. And one of the major issues that they typically bring up to me is the fact that in the whole cost model and discussion of doing this merger, the commissioners had said they were going to save about $1 million in cost, Union County commissioners specifically, by merging the two centers. But one of the requirements of this merger a couple of years down the road is the fact that the fire company pagers, which they depend on to get out to the accidents and fires that they go to, would need to be replaced so that Union County and Snyder County were using the same band. So I brought that to the commissioner's attention yesterday, and they basically said this is the first we've heard about it, which is contrary to what many fire chiefs have told me. And they said it's part of just expiring equipment that's getting old, and that's an obfuscation, because ultimately this is an issue that is caused because of the merger, not because things and equipment just got old. So I just want to bring that to the public's attention, and you know, we need to have a better dialogue in county with our fire chiefs, our first responders. One commissioner told me, not in the meeting but outside the meeting ahead of time, told me, you know, you can never make the fire companies happy. But I can tell you, in Union Township, where I'm a supervisor, our fire company is pretty happy with their relationship with the supervisors. In fact, we had about 15 or 20 minute discussion with them in last night's meeting. It's about communication. It's about caring. It's about support. And we need more of it in Union County for our first responders from the commissioners.
Well, Billy, some of this might be in relation to FirstNet, which is supposedly going to lower the costs all the way around. One of the main things was the type of equipment that would be available for volunteer firefighters to use. And I think that in the long run, given the way they have set the model up for FirstNet, it should be saving money on those pagers going forward, or on and actually improve the quality of the equipment that they have.
Well, I think the merger in itself is a cost savings, and I'm not necessarily against the merger. I think it could have been done better. I think there could have been better communication throughout the whole process. My point is that if part of the merger required equipment retrofits or replacements on the part of the fire companies, that should have been part of the cost model in approving the project. And so at least a portion of the money should have come from the county, because they're the ones that are realizing the savings from the merger. So it's kind of some financial sleight of hand here to say, look over here, we saved $1 million, and hey, you fire companies, you need to have a few more chicken barbecues to raise the tens of thousands of dollars you're going to need to replace all your pagers.
So at this point, the county's not reimbursing fire companies for the upgraded radios that would be necessary?
No. In fact, they said yesterday this was the first they'd heard about it, and a couple of fire chiefs I talked to last night were furious to hear that, because they said they have brought it up before.
And at present, a Union County firefighter can't just get in on his portable and talk to a Snyder County firefighter?
Correct.
Okay. I didn't know that.
But they do have, they do all the time. They have, they use the county channels.
On the radios, yes, but in terms of the pagers, those fire companies that are along the line between Snyder and Union are carrying two pagers, is my understanding, if they want to listen in on Snyder County calls. And it's going to be a requirement going forward in the next couple of years that they all have be on the same band.
So it's pagers that are on this different band, not the radios.
Well, and also you have the difference between Snyder and Union and Northumberland counties. I know when our police respond to Sunbury on backup, they have to take along a portable transceiver in order to be able to talk to the Sunbury units, because they're on that digital output.
They can't just change channels.
They can't just change channels, no. Yeah. The radios won't permit it at the moment.
Okay. All right, thank you, Billy.
There's multiple issues, and I don't claim to be an expert on all of them, but I just think we need commissioners that are more in touch with our first responders.
Well, you better bone up. You're going to need an informed opinion in the months ahead, perhaps. So, All right, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate that. Eric, thank you for holding. It is an Open Phones Wednesday we're enjoying today. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call, and I do appreciate the positivity of the show this morning, opening up with the adult band concert, and what a wonderful celebration of the talent we have here in the Susquehanna Valley. I just want to bring up that also that talent was probably trained, I would say the vast majority of them, at the local school level, and just a call this morning in support of just the arts in our schools. And what a wonderful job the music teachers and the students who participate in music programs across the valley. And what a wonderful opportunity for our community to attend these concerts, whether you have a child or a grandchild and going to some of the concerts at the elementary school, the middle school, the high school, or simply as a enjoyment of the arts, going to the tremendous talent we see at all the musicals that are being performed across the valley. I had the opportunity to attend the one at Sealands Grove, and just everyone came away just very much awed. And just a plug for Susquehanna University. I think we had a little stab at them this morning that remind them that Susquehanna has one of the finest music education programs in the nation, and a good number of our local music teachers were educated at Susquehanna University and chose to stay in the valley and share their talents with the local school kids and just train them up. And also a plug for the late Francis Panino, who directed this young lad back in the 70s when I was trying to learn how to play the baritone. So Frank Panino actually was the father, I would say, of the modern band at Selins Grove High School from the early 50s. He actually trained my mother back in the 50s when he was a very young teacher. But
yeah, had my,
Frank
my,
Pineda was a great music teacher.
He had my son as well, and Frank was a good friend. I miss him still. But, you know, speaking of that, Dale Orris, who performed that amazing trumpet solo last night, is a Susquehanna University graduate.
There we go. There we go. So, but thank you for the positivity and celebration of our youth and the wonderful talent and the what we have here in the Valley. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Yeah, we are blessed around here. We got a lot of live music each and every evening or weekends especially. Bucknell and Susquehanna bring in a lot of performers.
Well, you and your wife are always going to events up in Bucknell.
Well, yeah. We get the Bucknell subscription from the artist series there. And we go to a few concerts at Susquehanna, but most of them at Bucknell. But it's just a wide variety of things. And one of the things we do there, as long as we're on the topic, I'm sure it would fail the who cares test on any other day, is we pick out the things we want to go to, and then we pick out one or two things that we would never go to otherwise. You know, maybe a contemporary dance troupe we've never heard of, but that is highly regarded, or, you know, musicians or drumming or, you know, some other program that we wouldn't normally go to, just to see what all the appeal is about. And
something
so
that would give you a headache normally.
Right. Like, oh, the drumming. Oh, my gosh, I went to the one drumming concert. Holy smokes. My ears are still shut.
Had you been at our concert last night, we did the 1812 Overture, and they had like four or five bass drums. They wouldn't allow us to bring a cannon into the school to shoot off. But
so touchy.
Oh, it was pretty incredible.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, and Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. We'll have lots more to say about our sponsorage, and we're going to have our state senator on the line, too. We'll dispense with the reading of the headline lines after the top of the hour so we can talk to John Gordner.
And then we'll talk about Georgia.
Something going on in Georgia. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Joe McGranahan, superlative co-host. Rob Center, our stunning performer of a producer, so we always appreciate his help and hard work. Now, we have a scheduled guest on the news line with us now, so we will go right to him. State Senator John Gordner's on the line, 27th District State Senator. We asked him a couple of weeks ago to tell us about this nuclear power legislation that was being talked about. I think it's actually been proposed since then. And so he's on the line. State Senator, thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, John.
I do appreciate that. Okay, so an overview of the legislation. It has taken the form of a bill. So tell us about the pending legislation that relates to helping nuclear power plants stay competitive.
Sure, and I may at least, I don't know if I'm correct you or not, but you're correct that a House bill was introduced probably a month ago. The Senate bill, which I'm involved with, is being introduced today. So that's why the call today, it makes sense. Our bill, we've been drafting and have had different versions of it, but we're ready to introduce it today. The prime sponsor is Senator Ament, and he's actually meeting with a number of folks today, including John Finnerty, who writes for the Daily Items. So wanted to call in and give you details on what the Senate bill is going to look like.
All right, and it isn't anything at all related to what a person would call a bailout, so explain that.
Sure, and look, let me first start out with we're not the first state that's looking to provide some incentives to the zero carbon energy that nuclear produces. New York has already passed legislation and signed into law. New Jersey has done the same thing. So as Illinois and Connecticut. So if, in fact, we take up legislation and get it to the governor, we would be the fifth state. That is, if Ohio doesn't get there before we do, because they also have legislation pending. And the reason why is that nuclear is a 0% carbon energy. And a number of years ago, probably a decade or so ago, we adopted the Alternative Energy Portfolio Standards to incentivize wind and solar And I guess, let's see, geothermal and low-impact hydro is also in there. But nuclear was never included, and nuclear right now provides 93% of Pennsylvania's zero-carbon energy. So despite incentivizing solar, wind, and those other entities, 93% of our zero-carbon comes from nuclear. And as you may be aware, as I'm sure you're aware, the owners of TMI have announced that they're going to be closing TMI, which is going to take that nuclear facility off the grid. Out in western PA in Beaver County, the owners of the power plant, the nuclear power plant out there, have announced that they're going to close that in 2021. And the concern is about the other remaining power plants, including Susquehanna, which is in my senatorial district.
How will the Senate bill, the one you're working on, that will be introduced today, if you're familiar enough with it to comment in some detail, how will it address the issue?
Okay, so right now, with the AEPS Act that was adopted, there are Tier 1 and Tier 2 credits. Tier 1 is where the renewables are, so it is the wind, the solar, the geothermal, and the low-impact hydro. Tier 2 has some other entities, including coal, cogen plants like there is over in outside of Mount Carmel. What we would do is create a Tier 3 line of credits, and in that Tier 3 would be nuclear, but we would also put the other renewables in there as well. And then make a requirement that at least 50% of the energy credits in the state be obtained through nuclear, and then provide some incentives for that. Again, if nuclear is taken out of the equation, boy, every manufacturing plant in the state is going to be in trouble because we're not going to come anywhere close to meeting the carbon thresholds that we're supposed to meet at a state level. And if nuclear is out of the equation, then they're going to have to be looking at manufacturing plants, at other sewage-related plants and stuff like that that is creating issues, and they're going to have to bear the cost of it.
Is this likely to be a partisan battle, or is there bipartisan support for doing something about helping nuclear energy?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, first of all, look at those states that I mentioned. You wouldn't say New York, New Jersey, Illinois are bastions of Republican activity. They're all pretty heavy Democratic states, and they've already adopted legislation to help. In regard to the Senate bill, which I'm one of the prime sponsors on, there's actually 10 of us, five Democrats and five Republicans, as the sponsors of the legislation. So that's about as bipartisan as you can get.
Now, how would this work? How would people pay for this? It wouldn't come from the legislature. Rate payers, who would pay more for their power if they are required to, you know, use more of these Tier 3 energy sources?
Sure. Much like the APS standards that was, you know, set up more than a decade ago, where these credits, you realize that there is a benefit to everyone in regard to you know, clean air and et cetera. There is a cost in regard to solar and wind for the credits that are being paid. There's going to be a cost to this as well. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it seems like it's somewhere in the $1.70 a month category for electrical residential customers, if the numbers that the PUC have talked about are correct.
So rate payers would pay this. You and I would pay this, a dollar and a half or so per month for this.
Yeah, rate payers, and again, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, yes, there's going to be a cost. Conversely, the numbers have been shown that if, in fact, all nuclear were to be taken away, there would be close to an $800 million annual increase because of the lack of alternatives in the energy portfolio. I mean, the one thing about nuclear and the challenge for nuclear is it's a 24/7, 365 entity. You can't shut it down in spring or fall when there's not a huge demand. It is 24/7, 365. And if you take that out of the equation, and, you know, gas prices will definitely go up because of the lack of competition. And with solar and wind, you know, the sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow, so it doesn't always produce the amount of electricity that you need in those coldest days in the winter or the warmest days in the summer.
Well, let's say you pass your Senate bill and you concur with the House, or you come to an agreement with the House on legislation. Do you think it will reverse the decision to close TMI?
Yes. Yeah, well, here's the deal. If you take advantage of the credit program, you have to guarantee that your facility will be open for the 6 years after you take the credits. And then if you take the credits the next year, you have to guarantee it another 6 years. So, yes, much like in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Connecticut, you know, nuclear facilities that were talked about being closed down are staying open, and it is in the legislation that those guarantees are in place. And actually, in the Senate bill, as compared to the House bill, we put clawback provisions in it, so that if an entity took advantage of the tax credits, guaranteed that they'd be open for 6 years, and then closed prematurely, the PUC would be able to claw back those monies that entity took.
How about development of future nuclear power plants? Is that likely to happen if this legislation passes?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. The interesting thing is that countries in Europe, and you look at places like France and Sweden, are building nuclear. You wouldn't necessarily think of those as nuclear countries, you know, based on a number of things, and France, one of the leaders in regard to the whole global warming issue, but it gets back to nuclear being a zero carbon source, and they see nuclear as the best means to deal with greenhouse emission standards and et cetera that you know, gas and other entities produce.
And what do you say to folks like me who say, well, you know, I'm a private individual, I don't want to pay more for my electricity so that I can help Exelon Corporation, which is a for-profit company. Now, they've purchased a lot of nuclear power company and power plants, and they are just barely in the black, but that's through their own doing. They just don't operate in a profitable way. Why should I help that private company that bought TMI?
Well, I'll appeal to the environmental Mark Lawrence and say that
you knew I had that hat on, didn't you?
If nuclear is taken out of the equation, there's serious consequences. And look, the interesting thing is a $800 million gas plant just recently got built right next to the Susquehanna nuclear plant. Literally within a mile of it, and they built it specifically there to take advantage of the transmission lines and et cetera that PPL had built many years ago. That $800 million gas plant is great, a lot of jobs in regard to building it, but now that it's built, they have less than 40 employees operating that facility. The Susquehanna Power Plant has 900 people employed at that plant. And almost all of them are required by FERC and the federal government because of you know, requirements for any nuclear facility to have double, triple, quadruple the protection. If you want to go up and visit there, you need, you know, Social Security number, you need ID, they have to know about you 48 hours ahead of time. There's barbed wire fences, there's literally... the last time I visited a year ago, there were four guys with Uzis that were standing there as you had to go through two different forms of security. There's just a lot of mandates and requirements that doesn't allow them to use the normal free market ways of operating. And, you know, having said that, they I think they put about $2 billion into the state's gross domestic product, and just a lot of different benefits, 16,000 in-state full-time jobs. There's a lot of benefits to the nuclear industry.
And have you heard from AARP? They oppose this because of the increase in electric bills to support Exelon. Have you heard from school districts and so on? I imagine their electric bills are huge, or industries. Are they feeling that ecumenical also, that they're concerned about the people that work at TMI and Susquehanna and so on?
Look, I haven't heard directly from AARP. I know they're part of a coalition. The coalition is led by the gas industry. The gas industry is absolutely opposing this, as they did in other states as well. The gas industry wants to control, the grid, because they frankly want to see their prices go up. The gas industry has been disappointed at what the gas gets in regard to the grid, and if nuclear is eliminated, there's absolutely no doubt that the gas prices will increase. And so, Mark, I don't know whether you're an electric person or a gas person, but those folks that have enjoyed the low price of gas will see that go away as competition.
I live off the grid in Coltmont, so I don't use any power.
He's a survivalist, Senator.
Go ahead, Joe.
Last question for you. If you guys are able to pass this legislation, will the governor sign it?
We believe so, and I'll tell you what. We took a lot of time in regard to our Senate bill to do a couple of things. One was to make sure that we put renewables in Tier 3 so that those folks that are pushing for solar and wind or any other type of renewable, that they would see some benefits in regard to our legislation as well, which they would. Because basically, we're pushing it again as a zero carbon effort to meet these world requirements. The second thing is the clawback provision. That is not in the House bill. We think it's very important that if we're going to provide benefits to nuclear or anyone else, that they meet those six-year requirements. And again, that six-year goes out. If they take it in 2021, that extends it to 2027, et cetera. And the other thing that we put in, which we heard some issues about, was we put in audit provisions. So, look, if the large company that you talked about that is going to get some benefit from this, they need to show, and we give PUC the audit ability to go in and make sure that these entities are using the monies to keep the nuclear facilities viable, and they're not using it as part of the rest of their portfolio. So we specifically put in audit provisions by the PUC that's not in the House bill. So our bill, while it benefits nuclear, isn't a nuclear written bill, and we wanted to make sure of that on the Senate side.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We have a lot of other questions. There's a lot going on in Harrisburg, but we'll let you go. Keep in touch, and as the budget process nears, we'll have you back on the line. And feel free to stop by again anytime in person. We'd love to have you back in the studio.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have
Take
great
care,
day.
Senator.
Thank you. State Senator John Gordner, 27th District, Republican, talking about the nuclear power industry assist that's being debated in Harrisburg. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK. We flip back to open phones when we come back, or we're going to have some words about our local news items that are in the news today. And we have opened now the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. They remind all of our listeners and everybody that when you shop at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy, you're helping out your hometown. You're helping out the village of Mount Pleasant Mills and Mifflinburg and Northumberland and Bloomsburg and Lewisburg. And how do you do that? Well, you do that by, if you patronize an individual who owns or operates or works at a hometown pharmacy, they take that dollar, they go out into the community, and they also favor local businesses, restaurants, churches, fire companies, charities, you name it. And when your dollar goes to a hometown pharmacy, they don't ship it to China. It rattles around in that town 10 times over before somebody finally takes it to Walmart and they ship it to China. So you can have a big impact in your local community. And guess what? You get better prices, better service, and some of them got drug take-back boxes and just the opposite kind of service you would get from a big box at Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Norrie Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, and Shade Mountain Pharmacy.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Oh, baby, listen to this music. This is the real deal,
it's
guy.
It's electrifying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is Emerson, Lake & Palmer? Okay. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines. More funding for an 8-year project to fix Northumberland County's 911 or emergency radio issues sparked heated debate among the county commissioners yesterday.
During the meeting, commissioners approved by a 2-1 vote to authorize Concord Public Financial Advisors to serve as a financial officer in connection to borrow $3.4 million to buy out its December 2017 Motorola lease purchase agreement. Commissioner Kimberly Best voted against the motion, stating there is too much money and not enough progress being made with the project. She also says she's growing worried about public safety after commissioners received a letter from numerous fire chiefs in the southern part of the county with more concerns about faulty radio communications.
I don't want to go down this path just to say that we're doing something and look like we're doing something when what I'm hearing from the police and the firefighters is this isn't going to work. They're actually telling me that they had better operability prior to us going down this path than they do now.
Going into the meeting, County Controller Chris Grayson told the commissioners the county would have two options. One is the county could refinance, which would pay the lease off and have that be approved debt under the state DCED. The second would be to leave the lease in its current form, but move millage from debt service to general millage and pay for the lease in its current form. All three commissioners approved the lease in 2017 to answer first responders and law enforcement's call for better radio coverage. Towers were also added to increase that coverage. Grayson says the move made sense at the time to help first responders.
They were the ones who were telling us that they were lacking coverage, and Motorola came with this would be the solution to do that. So we listened to their expertise.
Best says it would be better for the county to use unspent proceeds towards paying for the project, but she says the county prison project and operation expenses are continuing to hinder the county.
Point blank, there wasn't enough unspent proceeds from the prison, even though they say that they saved. They're down to, what, $800,000 now, and they're still writing checks.
Commissioners Rick Schock and Sam Chicatano voted for the measure, still claiming the move is the best way for the county to move forward. Matt Catrillo, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Thank you, Matt. We'll continue to follow that. If you have an opinion about that story, call us 1-800-795-9565. Many people detected a light smoke condition throughout the central Susquehanna Valley yesterday. They were smelling smoke from a controlled burn 2 hours south. State Game Commission routinely touches off controlled burns in order to burn off the undercarriage of dry material in wooded areas, but they control the location and expansion of those fires. Pittsburgh City Council has given final approval to their gun restrictions, and the legislation places restrictions on AR-15 assault rifles, like the AR-15 rifle that was used last year at a synagogue in Pittsburgh that killed 11 people. It bans most uses of armor-piercing ammunition in high-capacity magazines and allows the temporary seizure of guns for people who are determined to be a danger danger to themselves or others. And finally, brand new Islamic criminal laws that took effect in Brunei Wednesday punish gay sex and adultery by stoning offenders to death. They've triggered an outcry from countries, rights groups, and celebrities far beyond the tiny Southeast nation's shores. The penalties were provided for under new sections of Brunei's Sharia penal code. Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah instituted the code in 2014 to bolster the influence of Islam in the oil-rich monarchy of about 43,000 people, no, 430,000, sorry, two-thirds of whom are Muslim. Even before 2014, homosexuality was already punishable by a jail term of up to 10 years. 1-800-795-9565. We're talking nuclear power. State Senator John Gordner says a new bill now pending in the Senate would allow ratepayers in Pennsylvania to prop up the Exelon TMI plant and other nuclear power plants in Pennsylvania. It would not provide any direct assistance for them, but what it does is make their power more competitive in terms of the requirements that companies and individuals and electric companies are required to buy. We have an email related to this, and we got a caller on the line. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for waiting. You are on the mark.
Yeah, John touched on a number of things about nuclear power, and one of the things he did not mention was the demographics of the people that work at these stations. You know, there's Susquehanna, Limerick, TMI. The people there, they're getting older, okay? And there's a new wave of younger workers coming in, and what I actually watched the real estate transfers here in my area. I live near the Susquehanna plant, and I'm seeing a lot of people that are retiring that I knew. They end up selling their homes and moving out of the area. And when they sell their homes, that creates quite a boon to the economy. There, you know, there's a transfer tax that gets paid to the local government. And when these people, for instance, one in my neighborhood sold for around $300,000, they've already had people in doing modifications to the home. So there is an economic stimulus, in my mind, to the nuclear power plants that, you know, should not be overlooked. And there is a strong competition for these workers in these industries because it requires a special skill set that there's not a lot of in certain areas. So to get people to move into your area, you have to be able to present a fact that you're going to be in business for a while. Otherwise, they're going to find another place to go. So for nuclear power to remain competitive and put out carbon-free electricity, I think it needs to be treated on the same plane as these other things that create electricity without greenhouse gas. So I think it's only, you know, reasonable for, you know, Gordner and the Senate and the Pennsylvania House to try to level the playing field for this industry.
Well, I don't think it's leveling the playing field. I think it's creating an unfair advantage for nuclear power. I don't agree with it. I know that it's carbon-free, but I think if you have carbon-free requirements in your electricity purchasing, that will bolster, you know, solar and wind and other sources of carbon-free power. So, yeah, I just don't see charging me an extra dollar and a half a month so that Exelon can stay in the black at TMI. I know they're going to shut it down, but it's an antiquated plant. It's ready for shutdown. I know nobody can afford to build a new nuclear power plant, so we're not going to see that any time soon. But I just think you unlevel the playing field when you prop up one industry and you let the other ones go.
But we could see nuclear power come back if we were smart enough to adopt France's model, where we have unified or standardized power plants that have a set cost. I mean, right now, jumping through all the regulatory hoops you have to go through with any power plant are enormous. And really, nuclear, I think, is a very viable alternative, and we should be supporting it and trying to keep the plants we have open.
But propping up, charging you a dollar and a half a month to prop up Exelon?
It's not necessarily propping up Exelon. It's propping up nuclear energy. Somebody owns the plant. They will benefit. I mean, right now they're going to go, let's say, under, and they have that huge investment in the structure sitting there that's mm-hmm. going to be wasted when it could be generating power for us.
All right, well, my view is if you're going to be in business, you got to stay competitive. But go ahead, Mike.
Okay. In addition to your point, Mark, about paying more, we're actually paying more because we're subsidizing wind, we're subsidizing solar, we're subsidizing the cogeneration. So from your standpoint, we should take away the subsidies and the tax breaks to them then. Would you agree?
No.
Well, doesn't that cost us money, Mark? Isn't that hypocritical?
It's an emerging industry that we need more of, and that is not electric ratepayers' money. That
and
is,
nuclear is a proven alternative that could generate even more power for
us. All right, that's a good. That is an excellent point, Joe. Okay, so it should be considered. If you're going to not assist one, perhaps you shouldn't assist any, and then we'll really find out what what it really costs us for electricity, which. It will completely level the playing field. All right. Good points all, Mike. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
the call. Do we have time for the email? Is that the best way to go?
I would go with the callers, and we can go back to the email.
Paul, you're on the mark. We're talking nuclear power.
Okay. Well, I'll get to that. But what I wanted to tell you is that if you want more photos, you go to my time link, and you will find all the latest stuff that I have shot. In 1975, I went to work for PPNL on the nuclear power plant in Salem Township. At that particular time, we were told by the engineers that the electricity that was generated by this power plant, 75% of it was already sold out to New York. So if this being the case, then the establishment can sell and make more money by selling it out of state than they can within the state. Texas has the same problem with their gas. They can get more money by selling it to Louisiana and all the other surrounding states, and they can sell it cheaper within their states. And this is what's causing the problems, because now every year or so you get a letter asking whether or not if you want to stay with PPNL or if you want to get a different rate for your electricity, and it's because they can get more if they sell it out of state.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much,
Paul.
Yep, good point. Cindy, you're on the mark. We're talking propping up an industry.
Well, I'm just wondering, why didn't we prop up Sears and Kmart? Why didn't we prop up Staples?
Or the buggy industry.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Or the buggy industry back in the day.
Keep them going. I mean, I think this is ridiculous. First of all, the nuclear industry, unlike many of the ones I just named, actually represent a health threat to the community in which they exist, and depending upon which way the wind blows, downwind from them in the event of an accident. They create a product in their doing, which we don't know what to do with all of it now, you know, that's sitting around, and it's grossly dangerous, this radioactive waste. It's terribly dangerous. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants to move it. Nobody wants to store it. I mean, so this is not some pie-in-the-sky industry, you know. This is actually, while it has some kind of benefit, it also has a danger. So I propose a different approach. Why don't we just nationalize the nuclear industry across the country? If you're going to make me pay what amounts to a tax to subsidize this business, then just take it away from them. Nationalize it like defense or FAA and the screenings at airports, and there's lots of examples where the country has taken over these things, and we pay for them through taxes, and just do it in a more open fashion. Because just handing them this money is not necessarily going to rescue the business. I think they're just going to become, all the more dependent, and they'll be back in few years saying, oh, no, we need more. We really need like $250 a person, and then it'll be 10, and then it'll be 20. And nobody will be paying attention until it becomes outrageously onerous, and we've propped up this mess. So if it's okay to let Kmart and Sears and Penny's and Bon Ton and all these other stores around here go out of business for financial issues, it's okay to let them go out of business too. Do they employ people? Sure they do. Rest assured, so did Sears, so did Kmart, so did all. Do they pay property taxes? I have no idea, but I can tell you that Sears and Kmart, et cetera, they did, and we let them go under.
Well, Sears is still in business, and so is Kmart in certain places, but they're not here. But here's the important point. If the senator is right and nuclear goes out and gas wants to raise the prices, you might wind up paying more than that $1.50 or $2 down the road because the gas company is charging more for its product here.
But you might
not. Unless we choose to turn on our thermostats or change our behavior so that we don't utilize so much gas, or put solar panels on our house, or erect, you know, I mean, there's lots of alternatives. This is not some, if we don't save them, we're going to be gouged by, you know, someone else. Nor do I heard what he said about the, what was it, 75% or some huge amount of our green, quote-unquote, green energy, it comes from the nuclear side. But the nuclear side has an enormous price, an enormous price. I mean, the worst thing that happens if the solar panels goes bad is you've got a bunch of junk you could pile up or bury or something like
recycle.
That.
Recycle.
These people, if they make a mistake, geez, has that ever happened? Has that ever happened in our area? If they make a mistake, they wipe out an entire community. They endanger hundreds of thousands of lives. They make, look at Chernobyl. Don't underestimate the seriousness of these kinds of mistakes. So if they can't manage that business to survive, and as was pointed out, this company is going around getting itself rescued in every state. They're like the movie industry. They're becoming parasitic. How many things are we going to prop up? If I have to prop it up, then take it over.
Well, and your retail analogy is apt, because there are many retailers who stay in the black and grow and continue to thrive, and there's those who, for whatever reason, don't survive. And nuclear power plants, I don't think we should prop up an unprofitable plant. Remember, there are lots of profitable nuclear power plants. There's two in Pennsylvania that aren't in the black, but there's six others that are. And so, you know, maybe Exelon would do better to adopt the policies of Talon Energy to stay in the black.
Well, generally, I don't disagree with, you know, not propping up industries, but let's look at the one tremendous success where we did
prop up
an industry, and that was Chrysler. You know, they were about to go out, and we bailed them out, and they paid back their loan in advance and have remained a viable economic force in the automotive industry.
Well, maybe a brief bailout with a sunset clause would be viable. But see, I think there's a real difference between using taxpayers' dollars that are available to help industries in a one-time fashion in the form of a loan versus making ratepayers pay for all of this to support one unprofitable company. It doesn't make sense. Harry, you're going to have to stand by because I'm in the red here. But stand by. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. Today, Phillies and Nationals. We return tomorrow, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we have three emails that relate to the nuclear power industry, but more importantly, our good friend Harry is waiting. Good morning, Harry. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, Cindy had a lot of the same points that I'm sure she probably said it better than I would have anyhow, but she's exactly right. You know, when you go through downtown Sunbury, for example, and Joe, to your point about regulations, okay, hurting the industry, that's very true. But, you know, small businesses in this country, in this state in particular, have a lot of regulations that hurt them. And I would much rather, if somebody's going to nail me a fee for something, I would gladly pay an individual fee to help somebody in an independent business, a small business owner who got hurt or is being hurt by those regulations. Exelon is a huge company that went out and swallowed up other companies thinking they could corner the market on power and electricity, and they lost their gamble. Why should I have to pay for them in any way, shape, or form?
What if I gave you a campaign donation or two?
Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, And don't let anybody kid you. The natural gas prices may go up, they may not go up, but what's the odds that price for a utility or gas or electricity isn't going to go up? I mean, really. You know, it's going to go up with or without Exelon being bailed out. But if 6 out of the 8 power plants in this state are making money, let the 2 that aren't go under. That's their problem. That's not my problem or your problem, and it certainly isn't. There's got to be more things that we can spend money on in this state than bailing a failing business out of trouble. I just don't understand it.
But what about the carbon? Don't you want the state to be carbon free?
Don't you want it to be
carbon
free?
I could. It's really not a high issue on my list.
Well, it is really on Harrisburg. That's all I think about. All right.
I want to take Exelon out of the
equation. I don't really understand a lot of the carbon issue, and I think a lot of it's made up too. So I don't know.
I want to take Exelon out of the equation for a minute. Is it worth preserving nuclear energy? Forget about who owns it or what they've done or what kind of storage they've been of it. Is it worth preserving nuclear energy? Does it have a benefit to us to be able to have an alternative so that the gas industry doesn't have exclusive control over our power?
I guess in that respect it would be, but do the gas companies have complete control?
I think they will if nuclear goes out, because let's face it, we're not going to fill the gap with nuclear with wind and solar.
Well, but you have some wind, some solar, some hydroelectric. I mean, Holtwood and the other dams are still down there.
Well, and if here's my question then, Joe, along with that, is if you have, why can't we spend money rather than bailing out somebody who's already proven that they can't do the job? Why don't we take that money, if we're going to spend it, and give it to other companies that are exploring other alternative energies that can be an alternative to gas?
But we're doing that in massive amounts, Harry. We're subsidizing wind and solar to...
If we're going to give $500 million to the nuclear companies, to a nuclear company that has failed, it is failing, then why can't we give that money to somebody else and help them do more with limited resources that many of them have already?
Well, the thing I like is that
$500 million would go a long way to solving other issues.
But did you hear what Senator Gordner said? If they take one
I
cent
didn't hear
of
all of his interview.
He said that they put a clawback provision in there, that if they take 1 cent of these incentives, they have to guarantee that they'll remain open for 6 years. And each year they take any money, they have to guarantee that they will be in business for 6 more years. So, I mean, it's not like a direct bailout, like we're saying to them, here's some money with no strings attached, have a great day.
No, but you're propping up their power.
Exactly. You're propping them up at a benefit for being a failed business already, and thinking that because you're going to throw more money at them, they're going to be successful all of a sudden. If their practices don't change, it doesn't matter how much money you give them.
So it would be the equivalent of every time you go to Amazon.com, you have to pay $1.50 to prop up Sears because you're not shopping there anymore. All right. Thank you so much, Harry.
Bad analogy.
Excellent analogy. All right. We got callers waiting. I got emails pending. I'm playing catch up here, so we'll be right back. Stand by, Chris. I'll shorten this break down to 2 minutes. That's the farthest I can negotiate to. And downward here. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Let's hit the phone first.
Oh, you want me to read this one? Right. Yes. One of our writers says, I guess when it comes to energy policy, Joe's the socialist and Mark is the capitalist.
Amen to that. Well said, Billy. Thank you. Chris, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you know who wrote Georgia?
No.
I know
Boogie
who sang
Carmichael.
It. Right, and Ray Charles sang it.
And it, well, a lot of people sang it. Billy Holiday.
Nobody
sang
better.
It.
Nobody better than Ray Charles.
But that's
Billy
not
Holiday
why you call.
But
you got 2.5 minutes.
It was also about a woman. It wasn't about a
right
a state.
A state.
You got 2.5 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh boy, we're rushed. Okay. I don't know if I can mention her name when I agree with her or not.
What?
You agree with Cindy? Well, you're a smart man.
Well, I agreed with her yesterday. I think she was the one who had all the lawyers and going down to the border, I think. It occurred to me, I thought, accused Joe of having a good idea, and I think it was actually she who must not be named. But I also wonder, well, but I'm not quite as gung-ho as she is about it. I think there's a fine balance where you can support or not support, and how you do it matters. And I'm also think if the electricity is sold out of state, that might change things. You know, that means New York is supporting it. And who cares about them?
Amen.
And I was wondering how Joe felt about running his criminal enterprise down there in Shamokin Dam.
What criminal enterprise?
Well, it's against federal law to grow pot.
Well,
and you wanted to enforce all the laws, didn't you? We're a nation of laws, aren't we,
Joe? Medical marijuana is legal in Pennsylvania, my friend.
Yeah, not federally to grow it, though, is it?
We're operating under state law here until the feds come in and
tell
us we've got to shut it down.
I guess that's what happens with the immigration, too, huh? They're operating under state law.
Boy, he got you, brother. You're in trouble now.
Well, yep. We'll shut it down tomorrow if you don't like it,
Chris. Okay, shut it down, baby.
Shut it down.
Either that or we'll subsidize it.
And I also wanted you to notice that the Republicans have now, again, retreated for another 2 years, putting out a health plan that they're going to replace. That's since 2008 now. They've been putting out their health plan any week now. And we're up past 220 now.
I think it deserves deliberate consideration, and I believe that's what the Republicans are doing.
Yeah, deliberate. They aren't considering it.
That's a good
They
one.
Aren't considering it. You think Trump's there busy at the White House working on a plan?
I do, and
right.
When it comes out, it's going to be cheaper, and it's going to be great.
McConnell's there busy in the Senate working on a plan? Right.
It's going to be cheap, and it's going to be great.
Cheap and great and non-existent.
And if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and if you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
They're always cheap and great.
You know
that.
Chris, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And other great lies.
Hey, that was a good lie. Because look at what you guys were saying about it. That's a small lie compared to what you guys, and by the time you defended it, you proved how good it was.
All right, another couple seconds. Go ahead, Chris. Anything else?
That's all. That's enough.
All right.
Give somebody else a chance.
Yeah, you're right. That's enough, Chris.
Paul, you might be the last caller of the day. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Well, of all the things that you guys have talked about, the one thing that you haven't talked about is hydroelectric. And there, your fuel is free. You don't have to worry about carbon. There's no waste. And everything is at your disposal.
How about drought?
Well, actually, that's not a big factor, but hydroelectric does have some downsides now. Certainly, it is clean and somewhat free, as you say. But first of all, the impoundment ponds where you stop the water gather sediment over the years, and they have a huge issue at Holtwood and Conowingo and York Haven. They had a great deal of trouble getting their federal permits to stay on the river because they hadn't done anything about the massive amounts of sediment. Now, they have permits now, but they haven't resolved that issue. The fish ladders don't work, so they have a huge environmental impact. So dams aren't probably going to be the solution to our power needs. Now, if you have a dam in place already, it is a great way to generate low-cost electricity. Plus, they have the advantage that Senator Gordner talked about. They're very nimble. You can spool them up if you need them. You can turn them off if you don't. Whereas nuclear power, it takes days to be up to 100% power and so on. You know, they're not as nimble. But good point, Paul. Hydro's got a lot of downsides. Hey, On the Mark brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 of 15 Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more at sunburymotors.com. I invite you to do what I've already done. I've gone to the Ford location on the sunburymotors.com site, build my next Ford Ranger. It's the Raptor version. It's going to be ready next year. It's got a 6-foot bed and dual seats and a 4.5-liter engine. It's that charcoal gray. It's got a hood scoop and a little roof racks up above the cab, power window on the back of the window, and it has air conditioning, so it now has officially everything I need. But you can build a Ford of any type or style or species or any particular brand of Hyundai. Well, I guess Hyundai's the brand, but any, they are what, model of Hyundai or Kia or Lincoln on the Sunbury Motors website. Of course, the best thing to do is to find out if they don't already have your vehicle down there, and that is to go to North 4th Street in Sunbury or the Kia dealership on 11 and 15 and check out the vehicle. vehicles.
There have been
a
lot of vehicles down there with your name on them, but none of them have shown up on the parking lot out front.
Oh, well, the other Ranger was. Not this particular one, but the other one was. All right, you're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. Next is the Dan Patrick Show. In about 2.5 hours from now, the Philadelphia Phillies are on the radio. While our normal programming, Mr. Ramsey continues at WKOK.com. Thank you so much. Yep, we'll see you tomorrow. We got 3 emails pending on the nuclear bailout, so we'll read those tomorrow on WKOK Sunbury.